Regular listeners to this program have heard us talk about ways to keep your pets healthy. Our next guest focuses on the health of animals raised on farms and used in laboratory research. Candace Crony is the director of Purdue University's new Center for Animal Welfare Science, and she told me how her work affects both animal health and human health as well.
If you're a farmer and you are facing, for instance, with public pressure to change from a system where you're keeping animals that you're raising for pork, for instance, in close confinement. And there's a movement now to move these animals out of stall systems where they're confined routinely throughout their lives, throughout the day, to group housing systems. One of the things that concerns people is how to manage those animals in those new systems so that they're not injuring each other, they're not getting injured themselves, they're getting enough to eat, they're getting individual care, or at least to the extent to which we can provide for their individual needs. All that is happening as it should be, so that those animals are growing well, they're healthy, they're producing well. And so the farmer at the end of the day actually has healthy animals that can produce healthy food and get a little bit of profit out of that.
So how does animal welfare science benefit research?
One of the things that we know is there are a lot of concerns around the use of animals for biomedical research. So there are people who will suggest that a lot of the research that's coming out of many of these fields is not valid because it doesn't work as well in the human population. One of the questions becomes, to what extent is the experience the animals themselves are having undermining the validity of the research? So we have scientists who have looked at factors such as rodent welfare. How comfortable are the rodents even in the home environments they're kept in before they're tested? Are they too cold? Are they thermally stressed? If they're too cold, they're going to metabolize any drugs we're testing on them very differently from if they're comfortable. One of the things we don't know is what else do they need in those environments so that they feel well, they're doing as well as they possibly could be in the environments we've put them in, so that what we're doing is really getting good animal models and better animal models than we've ever had before because we're addressing those animals' needs.
So how do you understand what a rodent needs?
One of the things we look at is what the rodent's behavior is telling us. What's the natural history of the species that we're looking at? What's its normal ethology, its developmental history, and its adaptations out in the wild? And then once we know that, we can look at, even though we've changed some of these animals through domestication, some of their needs are absolutely going to remain the same. And they tell us this in different ways, for instance. So if we allow them to choose between being kept, for instance, if we're talking about rodents, in a stainless steel cage that's very easy to sanitize and has nothing in there, versus a cage that has nesting material that they can make a bed out of, that they can put together, keep themselves warm, protect their babies, which are they going to choose? And they tell us very easily what they prefer. They can tell us things like, of the bedding materials we've provided, what do they prefer? What allows them to build the best possible nest, right? And to keep themselves as warm as is ideal for them. These are the ways we get to ask these animals very simple questions. And oftentimes when we look at their physiological measures, their blood measures, indicators of stress and stress hormones, many people are familiar with cortisol, what we find is that those measures match up with what the behavioral measures are telling us. So in other words, the animals are telling us in ways that are very clear, are they stressed by their behavior? Are they stressed by their physiology? And oftentimes what they tell us is both.
So do you think the changes then in the way animal research is conducted and the way the animals are housed will impact the medical studies down the road, will have a direct impact on medicine?
I think absolutely so. And I think unless we do more of this work, you will continue to see challenges relative to using animals for this type of research, period. One, because of concern about how the animals themselves are treated, and two, because of the questions about the validity of the research. I think doing this kind of work is a critical component of ensuring that if the public feels it's important that we do biomedical research and that we test these products even on animals, that we're doing that in the most precise and, more importantly, the most humane way possible.
So how did you get here? You're from Brooklyn. You don't have an ag background. You don't necessarily have a, you know, kind of beginning with a veterinary science background or a livestock background. I was just wondering about your background and also your take on the needs for animal welfare.
I have always loved animals. My earliest memories are about animals and wanting to rescue them, take care of them, and so on. So growing up, even as a kid in Brooklyn, I always looked for opportunities to interact with animals. When I found the opportunity to go into a program, it was actually a pre-veterinary program, to study animal science, I absolutely took that opportunity. And that led to additional opportunities to do things like study in the animal sciences, but with psychologists as well who contributed, doing things like looking at the cognitive abilities of food animals and what that meant in terms of how we took that information and applied it to how we kept those animals, how we raised them, how we interacted with them. So that opened up a can of ethics questions. And all of this has sort of come together for me in my academic career, because these are the same sorts of questions that people are asking about today. And it's why I continue to pursue questions about animal welfare science, because ultimately what we're trying to figure out is, what is it like for the animal? What's the experience the animal's having? What's the best possible quality of life for that animal? The more we know about animals, and I think it's fundamentally our responsibility, if we're going to assume it's okay to use animals, it is fundamentally our ethical responsibility to know everything we can about them and what matters to them so that we can give them the best possible care and the most humane care.
Do you ever see a day when animal rights activists and animal researchers and people who raise livestock will ever really come together? I mean, is there some common ground in there and with centers like what you are director of?
Barb, I think the important thing here is everybody who talks about these issues, regardless as to the perspective they're coming from, they're all interested in animals. They all care about animals. They all want to do what's right for animals. And the difference is everyone thinks they know what the right thing is to do. One of the things a center like this allows us to do is really make sure that all of those diverse viewpoints are represented in terms of the questions we ask, in terms of how we communicate the research and so on, so that when we're having conversations with members of the public, with these disparate groups who all still have one common interest, we at least are able to have the conversation in a way that's productive, so that everybody feels like what they're bringing to the table has some value, because it absolutely does. There are different ways of knowing. All of these different viewpoints are important to represent in the conversations about what we do with animals, how we use them, whether or not we do use them, and if we do, how we treat them.
Candace Crony, thank you so much.
Thank you, Barb.
Candace Crony directs the Purdue University Center for Animal Welfare Science. We'll put more information about the center on our website. You can find it by going to soundmedicine.org.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp in chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals.